The Gen X Factor is recorded before a fake studio audience.
Welcome to the Gen X Factor, a podcast about all things 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond for the dazzlingly uncool in all of us. Join us as we take you on a guided tour through the deepest, darkest recesses of our collective generational memories. Could it be dangerous? You better believe it. But we're Gen X. We were built for this.
Here in my car,
I feel safest of all.
You can lock all your doors.
It's the only way to live.
In car.
Who sang it?
Gary Newman. So, cars. You know, there are a lot of... we've talked about our TikTok presence and social media. There's a lot of Gen X on social media. And I was watching this one guy that I follow on TikTok, and he was talking about the fact that, like, kids today seem to get nicer first cars. And yeah. I don't know if that's because cars just in general are nicer. Like, you think about the quality of the interior of a car now compared to the interior of a car back in the 80s. I mean, they're basically like entertainment systems.
Yeah.
And everything's
yeah.
so plush and solid. Everything feels solid and you feel safe because there's like airbags everywhere or whatever. But that wasn't like the cars that we got. Most of us, now I have to admit, you and I were both very fortunate. We eventually got very nice cars. Our parents were super nice to us. But our first car, and most people's first cars, were kind of beaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ours was no exception, although thinking back on it, there's so much memory and nostalgia. I would love to take another ride in that beater.
I'd love to take a ride in that.
So our first car, which was my first car because I'm the oldest, it was a 73 Buick Century.
Yep.
It was a beast. I mean, it was huge.
I felt safe in that car.
Oh, yeah. It was solid. But, I mean, you could have lived inside that car. I mean, you could full lay down on, you know, there was a bench seat in the front, bench seat in the back. You could lay down in it.
You could put a lot of kids in it, too,
You could drive a lot of friends. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you could do the cool thing where your girlfriend kind of slid over and sat right next to you while you were driving. And they weren't bucket seats. But, yeah, so that was, we called it the bomb.
The bomb.
And it, for rightly named in some ways, which we'll get to. But it was mustard yellow with a white top, not a vinyl top.
Well, first of all, it was more of a gray poupon mustard yellow.
That's right.
It wasn't like, it was like bright yellow.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't French's.
Yeah.
It was more like Dijon.
I think the color ended up being called Colonial Yellow.
Yeah, I bet that's what it was. Colonial Yellow. And actually, with the white top, it looked very much like a colonial house. It did, really.
It's just the house was smaller.
It was a small house, not much smaller.
No, I'm saying that real house was smaller than the bomb.
Yeah, that's true. The house was smaller.
You could not have parked this in some of these parking places these days.
No way. It took up a lot of real estate. It had a super powerful engine.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that thing, I mean, if you floored it, you would lay a scratch that would rival any one of our pairs of underwear today.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. It was something. And at the time, I thought it was just a piece of junk. But it was okay. I mean, I was very we were thankful to have it. I mean, it was transportation. I mean, it was freedom. We were able to drive around and the size of it and the ability to fit people in it, like you said, and had a gigantic trunk. I could put the lawnmower in there and go around and do my lawns in the summer, go mow lawns. It was just great.
Yeah.
I would pay money to be able to like sit inside of it and just have that smell again. It was just the smell of just all vinyl seats.
My guess
like in a hot Houston summer, the smell of the inside of that car was awesome.
My guess is the smell was different once I started driving it.
That's quite possible.
You know, I didn't put lawnmowers in the back. I put dirty gym bags in the front.
Oh, gosh. That's right.
Yeah. And I would, you know, I'd be taking home a bunch of soccer teammates, and it reeked.
Yeah, that would reek. See, I was on the golf team, so we didn't get that sweaty. I'd have my golf clubs in there. I didn't have my soccer gym bag in there. So, yeah, it definitely took on a different olfactory state.
Yeah, and that's not bragging. I'm not bragging.
No,
it was impressive, but I'm not bragging. And now I also think they did not have shoulder straps, right? I think it was just the buckle.
Yeah, and you would just buckle it behind you so the buzzer wouldn't go off, right? This was before mandatory seatbelts.
So it did have a shoulder strap.
If it had a shoulder strap, it was kind of a shoulder strap that you connected.
Put it behind you. Yeah.
Okay. I honestly don't think that one had shoulder straps, but nobody wore seatbelts.
No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it had seatbelts.
It had seatbelts, and it actually had like a buzzer that, like, if you were sitting in the front seat without your seatbelt buckled, it would buzz, and so you would just buckle the seatbelt behind you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you would
keep it permanently buckled and just shove it into the seat. So, it was a different world. Yeah, very safe. But yeah, you didn't wear a seatbelt. I remember like when the seatbelt laws came into effect, just hating the way that it felt to have a seatbelt on, and thinking, it's going to wrinkle my clothes. It just feels weird. Now think about it. Even if like you're in a parking lot and you're going to drive two spaces over and you don't put your seatbelt on, it just feels weird.
As you're getting into your car, it's almost like you're grabbing the seatbelt in one motion, and as you sit,
absolutely,
you're.
But it wasn't always that way, kids.
No, it wasn't. It was not. And But again, like you said, you could fit three people in the front and four people in the back comfortably. Now, not my size that I am today,
right?
You know,
right? You could get four in the front, I think.
You think?
I think so, because they were both just bench seats, front and back, easily. And then if you wanted to have people sitting on lap, you could get
a lot of people. You could get seven. 8 to 10 uncomfortably.
Right.
But you're going to get where you need to go.
Right. And, I mean, we talked about how fast the thing was. And what I'm going to say is that sucker was always willing. It was willing to take us where we wanted to go. It was always wanting to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes even after you turn the key off.
Yep.
It didn't want to stop. It's like, no, come on. It's like your dog when you're ready to stop playing. It's like, no, let's keep playing.
But it wasn't smooth.
No, like what I mean is you would turn the ignition off and it would just keep going. And so you'd like try to flood it, you know, you'd push the gas down. Eventually it would stop. And that brought up a kind of a funny story that we might have even shared in a previous podcast, but we I was old enough to drive, and so I would drive you to school. We were both liberated from the bus at that point. We would go and we'd pick up Waldy.
Peeper.
Right? Peeper, we called him, because he would always be peeping out the window to see if we were coming.
Yeah.
And then we would drive to school and pull into the student parking lot at Conroe High School, which was, you know, it was a social event. Everybody was arriving for school. And
early, so they didn't, you know, you're in the parking lot talking to your friends that showed up with you.
Right. And one time, I remember we pulled in, and there were a bunch of golden girls standing around. That was our drill team, right? And it was probably a Friday, because they were all dressed in there. And, you know, it wasn't like I was... We weren't impressing anyone pulling up in the bomb. Right?
We weren't embarrassed.
We weren't embarrassed.
I mean, like getting out of that car in front of the Golden Girls, it was like, hey, that's Seal's car. Hey, there's Seal, right? There's Rocky.
And you get out and you're trying to kind of look cool because the Golden Girls are around, right?
You drive and you got wheels. You're cool,
right? You got wheels. So this was one of the times where that car just wanted to keep playing.
Yes, it was.
And it was and I look up, you and Waldy are like 100 yards away. You couldn't get away from that car fast enough.
No, we were in it when it happened,
I thought. I know, but then you just started walking.
Oh, after it happened,
we're getting out of the car, and it's still running, and I'm trying to stop it. You guys are gone.
Oh, I thought we were sitting in the car
I don't know. But this time, it finished with a flourish.
It decided.
It was like a rum, a rum, a rum. Boom! The biggest backfire.
I tell you what, let me tell you how big of a backfire it would have been. It would have been like if someone came up the new cars and like, well, let me look at this tailpipe. It would have looked like a cartoon. We had ash all over his face and his hair was blown back.
It was a big backfire.
It was a big backfire.
Oh, my gosh. I was so embarrassed.
Well, and you know what was embarrassing is just the... That got the Golden Girls' attention.
They were looking.
They're probably laughing. And then all of a sudden, boom! Oh, my gosh.
But she was a beauty, the bomb. You know, the other thing, why does my voice crack? I'm 55 years old and my voice cracks. Anyway. The other thing that was interesting about cars in those days, like I remember like my keychain. Do you remember you had two keys for the...
A square one and a round one. Yep.
And what did that...
Yeah. The round one would open the locks.
The doors.
The doors, and the square one was your...
Would start up the car.
Yeah.
Right. And they wouldn't work the other way around.
No, they were separate
keying. Yeah. So that was always kind of cool. And they were just little thin keys, right?
Yep.
They were like, you didn't have these keys that had the big plastic tops them, or certainly not the ones that sling out and have the... This thing did have automatic... Wait, no, it did not. It was roll up and down windows.
Was it?
And I don't think... It might have had power locks. For some reason, I think it had power locks.
I think it did, too.
But not power windows.
And the power locks were only once you got inside the car.
Right,
you didn't have a beep, beep. Yeah.
Right.
But the bomb was... It was...
She was a beauty. And then I think once you got her, didn't you, like, throw a rod or something
like
that?
Yeah, I was driving River Plant. I was driving home, and boom! And I pulled off the road, and... I just went and knocked on some lady's house because you didn't have cell phones.
Right.
And she let me in to call dad or whoever, and dad called someone to come out, and he goes, all right, start it up. Cut it! Cut it! I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't even listen to it for a minute. And, it got towed. And,
but we didn't get a new car. The bomb got a new engine.
And
it wasn't nearly as powerful as the
original. Was it not?
No.
He cut back on it, huh?
No, yeah. Was never the same after that. And then, you know, I desperately wanted a 260Z.
Right.
And I was trying to save up some money and get it. And then, like, I mean, I'm going to sound like the most spoiled, privileged child, but our dad always thought the RX-7 was really cool. He liked the RX-7.
Yeah.
He bought an RX-7 and let me drive it. It was my car. And then... You drove the bomb for a little while, then you got a Mazda 626.
Yep. Which was kind of funny. You know, you're like, I love that Datsun 260. I love that Datsun. It was Datsun
still
at the time, right?
Instead of Nissan. It was a Datsun, yeah.
And, you know, you'd have thought I would have been sitting around, God, I want a four-door sedan. It was a wonderful car, but, you know, it was...
That 626 was cool,
It was cool.
In the interior of it was so cool. This is when cars were starting to get a little... less utilitarian on the inside, maybe.
Yeah.
And they were the insides were getting a little more plush. Like, I remember you had this little joystick.
Yeah.
Like, right... Because it was a standard. It was a
standard
transmission,
yeah.
5-speed. But right next to, like, the gear shift, there was, like, this little joystick that you could toggle the speakers around. Like, you could control the balance front to back, left to right. But you could, like, be having a song and, like, make it sound like it was coming through, like, a Leslie speaker or something.
Right?
Have it going all around the car.
I want to say it had, like... What did you buy to put in your car? An equalizer.
I bought an equalizer.
It seemed like it had those little things that
had an equalizer built in. You had a graphic equalizer. I bought an equalizer and put it in the bomb and put new speakers and a new stereo. That was the day when you could do that stuff.
You know, that equalizer, that was, like, the... You talk about an addition, an add-on or whatever. You talk about wasting it on someone. I didn't know what the fucking equalizer is. I think I'll let you set it for me.
I don't even know. I mean, it was an amplifier.
Okay.
So when you hit the button, it got louder. And then you could control the bass and the treble and all that. Yeah, in the bomb. I put it in the bomb.
Yeah. But mine, I think, was just a constant.
Oh, yeah. You had, yeah.
But yeah, you bought something and like put it below the dash or something.
I
put it
in
there.
Yeah, I mean, in those cars in those days, like, I, you know, you'd lay down on the floorboard. You could unscrew the duct for the air conditioning system, and then you just had access to everything underneath the dash. Mm-hmm. You could fit a family of four under there.
Which you
could
did.
Actually, yeah, you could do things under there. Now everything's so packed in, you have to have special tools to do anything. But no, I would take that air conditioning vent off, and I could get in there and replace the stereo, and I put in a graphic equalizer, and you know, put in new speakers and all that stuff. But I mean, it wasn't high end stuff. I mean, some people had the really high end stuff, but I mean, it was loud enough that I could jam with some Van Halen pretty loud going down the street if I wanted to. I wasn't booming like I could if I'd have been in the hip hop days. If I'd have been a little younger, I probably would have had to put a subwoofer in there.
It was loud.
It was loud, but it wasn't thumping like
right.
We didn't have a subwoofer in there.
I think the only electronic device that I added to the 626 would have been a radar detector. That I got at a really good price.
Yeah, you did. You got a really good price on it, although you paid a price.
I paid a price.
See episode, don't remember, but something about radar detectors. We've talked about that.
That rascal. Yeah, but the bomb was something else. I tell you what, I'd love to drive it. I wish we had it. I would love to have that.
I've actually gone out to look to see if you can still buy, you know, if anybody's selling a 73 Buick Century. You can find them out there. I don't know if I would actually ever pull the trigger to buy one, but
What do they run? $1,200 or?
I don't know. Some of them, like if they're really completely finished, would be like $10,000, $12,000.
I mean, is it a
ours? I think we paid. Well, no, but it's like if somebody's taking the time to like really do it up,
take care of it. Yeah.
Ours was bought for. I remember it was $1,450. I remember it sitting out in front of River Plantation, and it belonged. I remember the kid that it belonged to, but I can't remember his last name. But we bought it from his dad.
We bought it off the side of the road.
Yeah, we bought it. You know, there would always be like used cars sitting out in front of River Plantation. And yeah, we bought that. And I remember mom and dad driving by thinking, that's a sensible looking automobile. And I'm like, oh my God, no, that's like a tank. So that's what we ended up getting. And man, now I wouldn't trade memories of the bomb for anything.
We've got a lot of memories in the car. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty we've forgotten, just to talk about and stuff like this. And
hopefully we've gotten you thinking about your first car and, good chance that if you're of our generation, your first car was a beater, and you probably wouldn't trade it in memory.
If you feel like making comments or something, let us know your first cars. I know we ask this, you know, a lot, but we'd love to hear your input. It just makes this so awesome to hear any kind of comment. But in this one, we'd love to hear what kind of cars you had for your first car.
That's right. And with that, we'll leave it until next time.
Boom!
Thank you for listening to the Gen X Factor Podcast, your home for all things 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, because we realize there's a little Gen Xer in all of us. We also realize we're all a little bit dazzlingly uncool. Not sure what that means? Go out to www.rockysealmusic.com and find out. Do you think you might be dazzlingly uncool? Well, if you found your way to this podcast, chances are you may be, or you will be one day. Check us out on our socials. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and you can find special video segments on our YouTube channel called Rocky Seal Music. Stay tuned every Thursday for new podcast episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good Lord.